I just want to take a deep breath for a moment, kind of gather myself. It's good to be able to worship with you today. I want to talk to you about an investment. I kind of mentioned in my email to you about having skin in the game, and want to give you that definition. It's having, making a personal investment, in some cases in an organization, in an undertaking, having a vested interest in someone's success. And I want to make it a personal thing, that I really do believe that God has called us as people to have skin in the game, to make a personal investment in someone else's life. To take a real vested interest in seeing someone else's success. And I think there's great power, and we bring great hope to individuals when we are able to do that. Came in one evening, I think Kathy was in between shuttles to Baldwin, and she was working in the kitchen, and she had one of those channels on where a gentleman by the name of Howard Schultz, who was the former CEO of Starbucks, was on. And I don't know if you know it or not, he's thinking about making an independent run for the presidency in 2020. Now, I don't bring him up because I'm thinking about supporting him, because I'll never do that. From the pulpit, and if you want to talk politics, that's going to happen somewhere else. But I want to bring him up because here's a man who took a vested interest in doing something, a personal investment that he would make in the lives of other people. And it was because his father gave him a dream. His father was an immigrant, came over. He worked in a garment factory, if I'm not mistaken, but he was a tailor, I think. And he learned something from his dad, and he happened to be the first in his family to go off to college. And he caught a dream about making a life for other people, not just for himself. He ended up in Seattle, and he worked for a small coffee business, very small. And they were selling it, and he went out on a limb, and he went out to purchase it. And probably against the advice of others and the risks that were involved, he went and did it anyway. Because, you see, he had this dream. He wanted to be able to provide for others. He said it wasn't his dream to build up this big, expansive coffee business and have thousands of stores. But he thought about making a living and enabling other people to make a living. He was the first to bring health benefits to his employees at a time when nobody else was doing it. And about getting people to take a personal interest in the business that they were working at by offering them options to stocks and to build a company and to build their own personal lives. And in doing so, well, a lot of people have jobs because he went out and he took a personal interest. He took time. It wasn't just about the money, but he actually invested his life in doing something that would be meaningful to other people. And today I want to talk to you about that, because you see, I believe that's what Christians are supposed to be doing. In fact, I believe that's what Christ has called us to be. Christ came and he gave, and he gave, and he gave, and he gave, and he invested. In fact, I was thanking the Lord this morning before coming here. Thank you, God, for investing in my life. Investing, and thank you for sending people into my life, that invested in me as well. But once we come under the grace of God and we have received that investment in our lives, we should do the same. And this morning I want to look at two women who I believe took the time to invest in one another's lives. I want to go to Ruth, and we're going to be reading from Ruth in the NIV. As you find that, I think you know that we can start out wanting to do something and we believe it's a good thing, but it doesn't always turn out the way we thought. And that is certainly the case with a woman by the name of Naomi. Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab to live there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. And after they have lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband, even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to two sons, I'm sorry. Would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? My daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. And when Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there, I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. See, when I think about this story, I think that there's a lot of investing going on. Just as there is between you and I. Every time we come in contact with one another, whether we realize it or not, there's investing going on. Naomi, along with her husband Elimelech, cared about what they had, their children. And when the famine came, they up and they went, because it was about caring for what they had. And so they did so. But of course, as the story goes, things didn't turn out well. It wasn't on their list of things to do to suffer such great loss. But in that time, well, Naomi acquired two daughter-in-laws. And for 10 years, think about it, 10 years, there was an investment going on, an exchange, day in and day out. At one point, her daughters-in-law were able to relate to her pain, to be able to understand the grief that she was going through in the loss of her husband, because they too lost their husbands. And then when that happened, well, Naomi's grief, well, went to a whole nother level. It's bad enough to lose your spouse, your partner, your mate for life, but then to lose your children. It's devastating. I used to kid around with my mother when I was younger and more foolish, and I used to say to her, you know, I'm going to end up going before you. I don't even know what provoked me to say that to her, but I would say it to her, and she would get, I mean, angry. She'd get her guinea up. She'd say, don't you ever say that. God forbid, don't you? And she'd rail into me. And then when my daughter turned 11 and suffered an AVM, an arterial malforming of a capillary in her brain, and it burst, and I almost lost her. After we kind of recovered from that whole thing, I went back to my mother one day and I said, I will never fool around with you like that again. I will never say that, because now I know what you mean. You feel the weight of loss. And Naomi had it. She had it all, husband as well as children. It's devastating. But in that time, there was this interaction, this investment of lives towards one another, the sharing of grief and going through life together, and the exchange, that when the time came for Naomi to consider to go back to where she came from, and there's reason for that, right? But when she came to that point, her daughter-in-laws were going to go with her. And, you know, from their perspective, you would wonder, what is in it for them? What is it in it for them? Because they're going to go to a land that they are unfamiliar with, culture unfamiliar with, a faith system, a belief system unfamiliar with, everything foreign, but something connected them to this woman, even though she had very little offer them. And where Orpah opted out to stay behind, Ruth would not. And I think it has a lot to say with the investment that was made into her life. Because you hear it in her words, in her conviction. In fact, we're told that that what she did in taking that vow to her mother-in-law was a huge thing. It's even noted in the book of Numbers. Now, it's not on the screen, but I'll tell you that it goes like this. But every vow, a widow, wherewith they have bound their souls, shall stand against them. In other words, this is a big deal to make this vow before God, because she was going to have to abide by it. And if she didn't, it could be bad. And where did she pick this up from, being a Moabite? You see, because they didn't worship the God of Israel, they worshiped another God. But she got this because of the exchange and the sharing of life with her mother-in-law, the investment of time. And it made a huge difference. And why would it make a difference? Because she was giving herself away, part of her life, day in, day out, to one another, exchanging, investing, and making all the difference in the world. And isn't that what needs to take place if we are going to make any kind of difference in anyone's life? is to come together and to share life, to encourage one another, to relate to one another. How are people ever going to understand how much God loves them unless someone else can relate to them in a way that is comprehensible and receivable to say, God loves me? Yeah, God loves you. Now, no doubt that Naomi had this great relationship with God. Oh, don't be turned off by her bitterness and her theology being off and feeling that God has afflicted her in this way. You see, because every time she refers to God, she does not use the Hebrew word Elohim, which is to say God. She uses the Hebrew word that says Yahweh, the Lord. And there's a big difference in that. And Ruth picks up on that as well. Because you see, Naomi's God is going to be her God. Naomi's Yahweh is going to be Ruth's Yahweh. In other words, to say, your Lord is going to be my Lord. I am all in. I am going to make this investment. I am going to go with you. I'm going to go with you to an unknown place, to an unknown culture, and I am going to invest my life in spending time with you. Which, if you ask me, is a huge thing. She took the precious substance of her time and her life, and she would give it to her mother-in-law. She didn't have to. She could have stayed right where she was. She could have sought relationships right where she was. But instead, she went. Naomi had this investment in a relationship with Yahweh. And that would be the very thing that would bring her back home. You know, when you and I can get off kilter and get off track and kind of lose our way in our relationship with God, He's invested in you and I. And that investment is meaningful. And I believe that investment has the power to say to us, I'm here for you. Come back to me. I am going to be your refuge. I am your God. And no matter how far you can stray, no matter how off track you can be, no matter how much you feel that you have failed and you may have let yourself down and let others down, and maybe you even think you let me down, I, the Lord, Yahweh, say, I love you. I have invested in you. I have given my son to you. I have given my son for you. That was the God that Naomi was going back to. And even though she said he hurt her and that she was bitter, she still went back. And I want to tell you, that's to say to me that God is bigger. Have you ever been angry with God? I can tell you times when I have sat in the car, in the front of my car, and I have literally took my fist and banged on the dashboard of my car and said to God, I need a break. I need a break. I can't take this anymore. It's too much, too much, too overwhelming. I'm drowning here. And I watched him. I saw him. I felt him. I experienced him come to my aid. And he gave me that break. See, God is bigger. And I want to tell you, he's bigger than any of our sins, any of our failures, any of our shortcomings. And we all fall short. Jesus said it. And I believe it. We all fall short of the things that we know we should be doing and saying and the way we should be living. We all fall short. There's not one of us here that doesn't. But God is Lord, the God of love, the God who says, come home. I don't care if you're bitter. I don't care if you're angry. I don't care if you blame me for everything that you think is going wrong in your life. Come home to me. Come home to me. And this is the God that Ruth has picked up on, because Naomi took the time through her grief, through her bitterness, through her sorrow, and invested in the life of her daughter-in-laws. Her life was far from perfect. But yet, her life made a difference in Ruth's life. Oh, by the way, in Orpha's life too, even though she didn't go. Okay? She made a difference because she took the time to invest the precious substance of her time, which is a gift. Every moment you and I come together like this, every time we come in contact with someone else, it's God has given us opportunity to share the gift that we have of our time. And God can make a difference in someone else's life when we do so. There is a great need all around us. It's a great need in our homes and with our families. And God has called us to give away from ourselves, to invest. Make a difference in someone else's life. Make a difference in a child's life, in a teen's life, in a coworker's life. Every moment of every day has an opportunity just to be who we are, as we are, interacting with one another. And then maybe we'll see the kind of gift exchange that took place between these two women. Where you go, she says, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. There is this unselfishness that's going on there. I can't help but think that Naomi was unselfish as well towards Ruth. And she shows it in her words, my daughters. She says it three times, my daughters. Not my daughter-in-laws, my daughters. Go home. Go back to your mother's homes, which is very interesting because in the Old Testament, in this man-driven culture, it's all about the men, the men's home. But she says, go back to your mother's homes, to a place of safety where mom is, where you can be loved. But you see, she, in many ways, had become the mom, the lover, the carer. No, we will go with you. They even cry about it. Investments at work. Life's exchanging one with another and the life that it bred. And I want to say to you that we have the opportunity of a lifetime. We have a life, opportunity of a lifetime. Because you see, I believe the PNC Welcoming Center is a place that's open to other people. Just as you have welcomed me in, you welcome others. The Patchogue Nazarene Church Welcoming Center, you see, because that's what we need to be. A place where people can come in under our roof and be fed and be loved and be cared for. Where life takes place. Where people know that they're loved. That even though they might look in the mirror and despise what they see, that God can say, I love you just the way you are. I care about you just the way you are. We have that opportunity as a people. And as we go on together, I'm going to be calling you into investing your lives here more and more by giving attention to God's will for your life. Giving, investing in other people. We have what we need. We have His precious presence and His love. And He makes a difference. Take hold of the difference that He makes and let that difference come out from your life to others and see what it will do in others, in someone else's life. Because God wants to use you in ways that you can't even imagine. At moments when you least expect it, just takes a moment of your time, that precious substance. Let's pray together. Father, when I think about people who invest, it's a call to action. Oh God, help us to take the next steps in our personal life and our corporate life to invest and to build into other people, to give ourselves away, to share the precious substance of our time. Lord, we need your courage. We need your insight. We need your wisdom. We need to have your heart and mind in this. Guide us so that we may go forward to do your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah. Light unto the world, light unto my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek, and when I will find all I need in you alone. In you alone. Where you go, I'll go. And you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If the life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. For my soul, in you there's joy, unending joy, and I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. Here you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. When you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah. I will follow you. Yeah. Follow you. I will follow you.
Amen. As you follow the Lord, know that he's with you, leading, guiding, bringing people into your path so you can make a difference in their lives and invest and have skin in the game. God bless you. Enjoy the fellowship downstairs. Get to know one another. I love you guys.